So I'm going to discuss our risk assessment for the potential emergence of dengue and chikungunya viruses in New Orleans. So New Orleans has a large urban populations of Aedes mosquitoes, specifically Aedes aegypti and Aedes albopictus, the primary vectors of chikungunya and dengue viruses. So there is currently a greater potential for introduction by a viremic traveler returning from areas with outbreaks. So most vector-borne diseases, including West Nile, we think of birds as a reservoir, but in this case, chikungunya and dengue are people are the reservoir. So infected people are returning to our area, specifically from the Caribbean, which is experiencing a rapid expansion of chikungunya cases recently. And so what we've done, what I'll discuss, is our increased Aedes mosquito vector surveillance program, the trapping locations, and part of this is response to a few cases that have occurred in the past year, our collections by BG Sentinel traps, and testing by RT-PCR for virus, and various methods of mosquito control. We've incorporated door-to-door educational programs, source reduction, residential ground, and aerial deltacide applications. So we hope that this sort of pilot study has incorporated into a framework which will help strengthen response capacity to this and other vector-borne diseases in the future. So I'll do hopefully a quick summary of chikungunya virus. And I'll refer to it as CHIKV in the rest of the presentation. It's an arthropod-borne virus or arbovirus that's transmitted by Aegypti and albopictus, a vector mosquitoes. It was first isolated in Tanzania in the 50s. And after that point, there were occasional outbreaks in Africa and Asia. But in 2006, an outbreak occurred in the Indian Ocean on islands and in Asia, causing millions of cases of disease. Under further investigation, they isolated a strain of the virus that had a mutation. And this mutation led it to be more easily vectored by Aedes albopictus. Previously, it was primarily Aedes aegypti. So that was a big shift. It's not something they had seen before. And one of the results of this is in 2007, the virus was found spreading in northern Italy and actually France as well after introductions from viremic travelers returning from India. In that case, it was Aedes albopictus, which is the primary vector. So that's why I refer to the two species being possible vectors, but know that they are these two co-circulating strains, and they're geographically isolated in different parts of the world at the moment. from 2006 to 2013, the United States only had around 100 imported cases of CHIKV and travelers returning to the United States. In December 2013, the virus was identified in the French St. Martinique, and as of earlier this month, now the virus has spread to 37 countries or territories in the Caribbean, Central and South America, as well as North America, and we see local transmission in Florida. In the United States, we've had about 1,600 travel-related cases. In Louisiana, we account for 9 of these. Three of those reside in Orleans Parish. So, some diseases reported by the state of infection. So these people were exposed in other places, specifically the Caribbean and Haiti and Dominican Republic. And so when they returned to Orleans Parish, there's 3. One of these individuals was viremic upon return. In Florida, they've had 11 cases of locally acquired transmission, primarily in Broward and Miami-Dade County. But what's fairly interesting, St. Lucie County has only had, I believe, 1 imported case, and now they've had 2 locally acquired cases at different points in time. So there is some local transmission, possibly unrecognized. So I don't know, how much time do I have? I was trying to figure that out. Okay. So the symptoms generally begin about 3 to 7 days after infection by an infected mosquitoes. The most common symptoms, fever and joint pain. It's fairly uncomfortable joint pain. So it's similar to dengue in its presentation, but it can be really debilitating and severe. So the idea is the chikungunya means that which bends up. So the person infected is in severe pain, often sort of in a fetal position with their hands curling, their feet curling. So, not to undermine that it's just joint pain, but it's fairly severe. So there can be a lot of morbidity associated with this. It can really lose a lot of productive days as well. Most people in this case become symptomatic. So unlike other arboviruses like West Nile and St. Louis, you see them you know, you see very few people that actually present with symptoms. In this case, the majority of people do present with symptoms. The symptoms generally resolve within a week, primarily supportive care for symptoms. But the joint pain in some individuals can last for months, and so that's another big concern, is months to years, actually. They've seen people 2 years later with still joint pain, so an arthralgia-like symptoms. So the risk of severe disease is also a possibility. Newborns who are infected at time of birth, older adults, people with medical conditions, primarily high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease. And there's been 9 deaths in the Caribbean during this outbreak. There's some new research coming out of France, which follows a lot of their symptomatic cases. They, of course, being the ones that recognized it first being transmitted in the Caribbean, have a rather large cohort that they've been following, and so that should be published relatively soon. And that is also showing that there is this range of disease outcome, and there can be severe cases. And the mortality rate is similar to that of West Nile. So initially it's been described as something benign, but it can, once you drive home the point, it can be severe as well. So there was a document that we used for guidance for the 2012 West Nile outbreak in Louisiana. It's an Association of State and Territorial Health Officers document, Guidelines for the Emergency Management of Mosquito-Borne Diseases, and it's called Before the Swarm. In that case, the guidance is to collaborate with a variety of organizations that may conduct mosquito control operations. Those that are not, you know, typically involved in it, but could be an asset to you during an outbreak. Community groups, public health, public work departments, transportation agencies make informed, evidence-based decisions describing where the risk for mosquito-borne diseases are highest, eliminate possible larval habitats, and use GIS tools. So in New Orleans, we have both these mosquito species that I've already described. They're dynamic populations. They exist in the same environments. They shift over time. And I'll go to that in more detail. But Aedes aegypti, we've had a long history with Aedes aegypti. I've heard of the history of yellow fever in New Orleans. This is a map of the yellow fever outbreak in 1905, the last in the United States, showing infected blocks where cases occurred. So this is the Aedes aegypti mosquito. There's a lyre shape on the back. This is Aedes albopictus. It has a single stripe. So they're really similar mosquitoes. They're relatively small, black and white. They primarily breed in containers. In fact, you still see them breeding in cemetery urns in front of yellow fever victims' graves. So we've had a long history with this vector. In the 1980s, L. Aedes albopictus was introduced in scrap tires imported from Asia. We see this in urban areas, but primarily associated with large green habitats like parks, but it's also primarily a suburban and rural species. So in case people didn't have much of a background, mosquitoes are flies. They lay their eggs singly or in groups on the surface of water or near water. They hatch into larvae. They go through 4 larval instars. This is a feeding and growing stage. Then they turn into pupae, and it's a metamorphosis stage, which is non-feeding. That's important for control measures. And then you see them emerging as an adult. Males tend to emerge first. If you have a lot of males, you're close to or a very active breeding site. So one of the tools we use for surveillance is collection of these eggs. So these are Aedes eggs. They're laid individually near the surface of water. In this case, this is seed germination paper that's lining a cup with water in it, basically water, so an overtrap. We used to call these little black jars when we use glass jars painted black, but now we use plastic go cups, which always get stolen. So there's one right there hiding in the green vegetation. Fill it with tap water, and basically what we would do is we collect these eggs, we bring them in, we rear them out, and we separate them for species ID. So this is representing the population pre and post Katrina. The red dots are where aegypti exceeds albopictus. So in 2004, prior to Katrina, we had isolated but older populations of aegypti still occurring in our mid-city and kind of uptown areas, as well as the upper and lower Ninth Ward. Post-Katrina, we've seen a rebounding of the species throughout a good portion of the city. We actually had some reports this year from areas out here which are almost exclusively albopictus now. That's probably associated with water storage containers. So this is a You Are Here spot. So as you can see, this is based on our 2013 overtrap collections. This is still primarily where the largest population is. And this is, to some degree, so this is the French Quarter, Upper Ninth Ward, Lower Ninth Ward. So this wide swath is sort of what I would consider a risk area. You have a large urban population, you have high human density, you have abundant mosquito vectors, and in this case you have abundant Aegypti populations, which in this case, being the strain that's in the Caribbean, I think I failed to mention, is without that mutation. So therefore, it is more likely to be vectored by Aedes aegypti. And again, there is some more information coming out of France that supports that, but it's not published yet. So based on this background of aegypti and this concern of importation from the Caribbean, we established three grid areas. I would say with grid A is this area here. This was the site of the REMIT case that returned to New Orleans. We do get information from the health department. They do share us 100 block addresses of these individuals. In this case, you probably have not driven around too much, but New Orleans is very strange with their numbering system, so these two blocks are actually the same 100 block. So somewhere in this vicinity, there was a human case that returned infected. And so we did some extensive work in this area, and we also tracked in these areas. So this, unfortunately, is where the case returned to. it was the first reported case in Louisiana, so there was a large growing collaboration with the health department, kind of deciding who would be informed of what, when, and how that would happen, and I've got to say it's worked out in everyone's favor. It was reported in June. The person was symptomatic upon return. And what I think is sort of interesting is all three cases in the New Orleans area had asked to be tested, had difficulty getting their physician to send them for testing. At this point in time, all the testing was done at CDC. We now have the capacity to do it in-house at the state. So that's something that has advanced. But as you can see, people in this area have open doors and windows, so not everyone has central air conditioning. This is a relatively abandoned house. It's unclear in some cases. There were people squatting in some of the abandoned houses, and this is sort of another abandoned house. On the side here, we've pulled 100 tires, most of which were breeding mosquitoes, and so this is a vacant lot adjacent to that, and then there was this house is basically next to that. So if you can picture that you have in this case, I showed you none of the nice homes, but there are also nice renovated homes that have central air conditioning and doors and windows and screening, but we also have a lot of exposed population. We have a lot of vector population. So we did some aspirator collection. So this is an ASHI aspirator. It's to scoop through vegetation and collect mosquitoes. This is a Procopec. It's another one used primarily for dengue, collecting mosquitoes inside, so up in corners of houses, but we were sort of using it to do vegetation as well as human landing collections. With volunteers. This is a BG Sentinel trap. Basically, it targets the collection of Aedes mosquitoes through this contrasting black and white, as well as the use of lures. It uses a BG Sentinel lure and an Octanol lure, both of which primarily catch Aedes mosquitoes. And so it has these sort of, you run it on a battery overnight, and it has these it's supposed to circulate the lure, the scent. So we're using basically just the color and this lure to attract them. We put them in or near vegetation. We've run them overnight, 4 to 10 a.m. So Aegypti primarily a daytime feeding mosquitoes in most cases. But the peak of activity really is at dawn and dusk, especially in our hot, humid environment. And so we target that collection by trapping overnight. So we catch both peaks of their activity. And we trapped in each of the three the grids. 80 females were pooled by grid area and tested for by RT-PCR for CHIKV at LSU at the Animal Diagnostic Disease Laboratory. This is just to show you some of the tires that we removed from that area, so that's the side of that house. This is actually the City Sanitation Department, one of our partners in this effort. We would stack and pull them from the yards. And as you can see, we drove around the neighborhood, picked up a lot of... It's surprising how many tires are in New Orleans. So each one of these, of course, has a spot where it can hold water, and they're a fantastic breeding site for these mosquitoes specifically. We also employ adulticide applications, ground, truck-based ULV, and also plane. This is a plane flying over that same area. We ran an aerial trial using dibrome, a quarter of an ounce an acre, and we are working on those results with CDC. We did a cage test, and we evaluated our field data with this collection. So this is to show you some of our outreach efforts. This is the Lower Ninth Ward. This is prior to the report of the initial human case, but we knew this area was having a very active mosquito season, both for West Nile and for other diseases. So we gridded the area. We partnered with New Orleans Fire Department. You can see a New Orleans Fire Department and a mosquito control employee going door to door. They were getting out pushing out information about smoke detectors, so it was a good effort for them. We also had, this is a city council person who's helping us pull tires from an abandoned lot, and we're jotting down the location. So this is the plot where most of the tire dumping is going. We're working a lot with sanitation and the state to address this illegal tire dumping issue, but it's a very complex issue. It's difficult to catch people when they're dumping tires, and as soon as you pick up 100 tires, there's another 100 tires. Actually, there's been over about 1,300 tires removed from the Lower Ninth Ward just this summer. We also had epidemiologists from the Louisiana Office of Public Health, and we also had NOPD. So in some areas, if we request, they will come and help us go through the neighborhood with some police protection. So the results of our trapping effort, chikungunya was not detected in 169 mosquito pools tested. The aspirator collections were done primarily after the first case, and they resulted in a lower number of mosquitoes than the VGS traps, so we discontinued that effort, especially that puts collectors at risk if there were to be virus circulating. And the VG collections after the aerial delta sighting operations were significantly lower in one of the grids, in grid B, which is a little less urban dense than the other, but not as effective in grid A, no effect in grid A. Grid A, despite all our efforts, still remained very high, and higher relative to the other areas, and on par with collections from previous years. As you can see, there's a lot of males in that collection, and both for Aegypti and Albopictus, indicating there's a lot of breeding in that area. The chickpea infection rates are relatively low, even in outbreaks. You don't collect a large number of individuals. So for West Nile testing, I think our next week's will discuss, you collect in the magnitude of hundreds of mosquitoes per collection. So we're talking an average of 6 to 10. That's not very much. So part of it is just the effort, difficulty in collecting enough mosquitoes, but in general, the infection rates are low for both. Control efforts were likely impacted by population density, urban obstructions, and baseline mosquito productivity. So depending on the wind direction, our aerial efforts have to fly over different portions of the city. There's an offset to that application. And in some of the cases, the wind was pushing the plane to go directly over downtown, there's a lot of towers and tall buildings, and it's difficult to really get into that area. But as you remember, grid A is fairly close to a lot of tourist areas, and a lot of visitors would go to those areas, so we really have to work on our control efforts and get into those areas. So that's probably going to push us more towards more truck-based applications. Female mosquitoes were similar to collections of previous years. Male collections were higher in those areas, again indicating a lot of active breeding despite our efforts. In 2014, there was there's a document that CDC came out with in September, the NOWCAST document, and retrospectively looked at some of the potential for transmission in select cities across the United States. In New Orleans, in July, there was a peak risk of 92% for infected remic travelers returning to New Orleans, and that's based on the traffic going through to the Caribbean, cruise and air travel. And there was also a 78% chance of local transmission given the spring traveler introduction and the amount of people returning. So we got very lucky this summer. We did not have any local transmission, but this is a continuing issue. And given the activity in the Caribbean and expansion, it's important for us to identify and monitor local Aedes populations. And I think I have a minute or two. Okay. just to go over what CDC has available for information. The CDC recommends that travelers to Caribbean protect themselves from mosquito bites and discuss their travel plans with healthcare providers. So as you know, we're a port destination, a tourist destination. People leave from here and return to here after their cruises. There's an increased risk of infection to people that are long-term travelers, missionaries, and humanitarian aid workers, and we did see this reflected among the occupations of our returning infected individuals. But those who might have difficulty, also people who travel and do not have access to rooms with window screens or air conditioning, or who spend a lot of time outdoors. So again, the increased risk of severe disease of those with increased age, underlying conditions, and pregnant women near full term, because the infection, it's not transmitted by the mother, but at delivery. The CDC has come up with some nice graphics and printable posters and flyers that can be used by local and state health departments. And there's a general one, American Tropics. It has good preventative information and then returning information, monitoring for symptoms. There's also some good information and cute, I might say, to explaining what you're looking for, what's the difference between an imported case and imported case, there's another flyer, there's three. So again, describing the symptomology, what's an imported case, I believe that there's another one on that. So planning ahead, we're working with other mosquito control districts across the state. There's a state arboviral working group that's making recommendations. It's a multi-agency mosquito control, also Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals, Office of Public Health. We're working on a physician education paper to really push this out so physicians know what diagnostic tools are available, what the appropriate ones are, and why it's important to test them. To test individuals. So we've increased the collaborators and educating partner agencies, including the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. The DHH has also identified ports of entry and provided those handouts from CDC to the crews and airport terminals. We're creating some draft press releases, so we're not scrambling at the last minute trying to write up a press release. And we're continuing to do mosquito testing, although, you know, it's gotten awfully cold in the last 2 days, thank goodness. So we are not doing that over the winter. We'll begin that again in the spring. And this is a reference to the CDC paper. And I think that's all. Thank you very much.